The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do you have to confess sin to be eternally saved? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. By the way, if you have not ever listened to us on a smart speaker, you can find us by asking your favorite smart device. Well, today we're answering questions from listeners just like you. You can send questions to us at radio@faithalone.org. A quick reminder before we get into today's discussion, we have our National Bible Conference coming up, and we're excited because this year we're going to do something a little bit unique. I think you'll like it. You should get on faithalone.org, our website, click on events, and find out more about how you can be part of this excellent adventure. So, join us for this year's national conference. Without any further ado, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's try doing this show again because...
Why is that, Sean?
We just recorded a brilliant show.
It was phenomenal. I was like, this is great. And what did you say?
I forgot to press the start button.
Now, have you pressed the start button now?
I've pressed the record good. Button. So this is a question from Jen. And Jen says, I love your blogs and emails. I found them all to be incredibly well-written, and I've learned a lot. Well, thank you very much, Jen. We try hard to make our blogs understandable to people. We want to be faithful to the scriptures. We want to be good Bible teachers, answering questions, expositing scripture, but in a way that anyone can understand.
Well, our hope is that we can be an aid to your local church. We're not a local church.
No.
We're a parachurch ministry.
Yes.
And our goal is to come alongside your local church and assist it. In some of your cases, you have great free grace churches and you're hearing all these kinds of teachings, but in other cases, maybe they knew that everlasting life is a free gift and it's by faith apart from works, but there's a whole lot more to the Christian life than that, as
right.
Jen's going to ask.
Right. And by the way, don't be hard on your pastors because your pastors have a really hard job.
Right.
You cannot be fed by only hearing a sermon once a week for like 20 minutes on Sunday morning. If you try to graduate from elementary school by going to school for 20 minutes one day a week, how long would it take you to graduate from elementary school? How long would it take you from graduate from high school or college if you only went 20 minutes once a week? You can hardly cover anything.
It'd take at least 4 years to get
right.
a degree equal to what you get in most colleges today.
But honestly, though, I think your pastor would have his job would be so much more fun if people fed themselves during the week on things like our blogs and books and podcasts and stuff like that. And they came to church prepared so that he could really fine-tune, go beyond the basics and go into some deep stuff. So I think by listening to us or reading our material, you're doing your pastor a favor because you can then come to church prepared because you've been fed all week.
And let me tell you a little story about Sean. My wife Sharon went with Sean and his three kids to his son's championship football game,
yes.
flag football game. And Sharon said, she look over at Sean, and here he is reading a theological book. He'd look up whenever Zane was doing something, but then he'd look down and read his theology book. So you practice what you preach because you read a lot of theology.
Well, I'm a little obsessive. You're probably not going to be at my level of obsessiveness.
Yes.
Because it's my job. It's my hobby.
But you love it.
But you're
a bibliophile.
I just love reading. But if someone's doing like a 15-minute devotional a day, or if they're listening to us here for 12 minutes or just reading our blog and that's 5 minutes, you're going to be way ahead of like most people.
Right.
Because they come in and they're pretty much unconscious until about halfway through the sermon, and then they finally realize something's happening. Then they immediately forget it, unfortunately.
So one of the benefits of listening to our podcast is you can be ready to go when the sermon starts.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go prepared. Okay, so Jen goes on to say, I wanted to pose a question. With John 3:16 encompassing all that a person must do in order to be saved, i.e. believe, how does 1 John 1:9 fit? It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I was pondering this verse today and wondering if it's possible for a person to be truly saved if they haven't ever confessed their sins and therefore been forgiven for said sins. It seems like a person couldn't be present in heaven if their sins were never forgiven, having never confessed them. I always lumped believing in Jesus for salvation and all my sins being forgiven in the same category. Just curious on any thoughts you may have? Well, that's a great question, Jen, because it goes a little bit deeper than, well, how do you reconcile John 3:16 with 1 John 1:9? Because it really raises, well, the nature of salvation and what Jesus gives us in salvation. So what would you say, Bob?
Right. Well, first off, I want to commend Jen for pondering, for meditating. That's what God's Word tells us to do. Amen. Psalm 1, for example, or Joshua 1:8. Or all through the Old and New Testament.
And this doesn't mean get a yoga ball out.
This doesn't get a yoga ball.
And light your candles.
I'm not sure what a yoga ball is, but there are mats.
Yeah, yoga. There's yoga balls, mats.
There are yoga balls?
Start meditating, absolutely. Okay. Actually, I actually use one. We do for stretching and stuff.
For stretching.
But anyways,
okay.
Not for meditating.
No.
It's not that type of meditation.
No, this is thinking about what God has said.
Yeah.
So, Jen, I'm very, very glad you're doing that. Now, let me mention a couple things. First of all, we do not find anywhere in John a connection between believing in Jesus and having the forgiveness of sins.
So, yeah, she says she's always lumped salvation and her sins being forgiven into the same category. And you're saying, well, maybe that's something worth rethinking.
Right. Because the forgiveness of sins, as we're going to see, I'm going to the second point that ties in with this, but the forgiveness of sins is not the paramount issue in salvation. The paramount issue in salvation is everlasting life or salvation that can never be lost or justification that can never be lost or an eternal relationship with God, a guaranteed home with the Lord forever, something along those lines.
Yeah.
The idea of forgiveness of sins is not the paramount issue. And in John's gospel, there's no verse that says, he who believes in me has the forgiveness of sins.
And so this
in John.
Is, yeah, and so this is kind of the interesting thing about when you take seriously John's evangelistic purpose, his purpose to tell unbelievers how to be born again or how to have life, it is really interesting that in his gospel, now his epistles is a different story, but in his gospel, he never links forgiveness of sins with this evangelistic presentation. And you have to ask yourself why, because as evangelicals, that's usually at the forefront of what we do. Like I've been reading a bunch of Lutheran books and listening to some Lutheran history podcasts, and they were just, it struck me how much they emphasized forgiveness of sins. That was like the main way of presenting salvation in the Lutheran Reformation. But when you go to the Gospel of John, like you say, it's not even there. And that's the only book written with an evangelistic purpose.
Yeah, and let's take your example. Isn't it true that for Lutherans, this forgiveness of sins that they talk about is something which can be forfeited?
You know, I think they're self-contradictory. I think they say both things. I, in fact, in this podcast I was listening to, they were saying you can be absolutely certain and it's eternal and da-da-da-da-da. But I know I've read other Lutherans to say that, yeah, you can. It turns out you can lose your salvation. It's like God has predestined you, God elects you, and it's certain. Da, 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 da. But then on the other hand, oh, you can also lose it. I don't know how they reconcile it.
I remember I read in Luther himself that he said that salvation is like an ocean liner or a big ship. And as long as you, because they didn't have ocean liners.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't read that in Luther.
But they had big ships. Yeah. And he said, as long as you're on the ship, you're secure forever.
Right.
It's only if you jump off the ship that you're no longer going to make it.
Oh, yeah.
And there are Lutherans today that will say, well, sure, you're eternally secure as long as you continue to partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and as long as you stay in the Lutheran Church and keep coming.
They love paradox, and that's not good.
But let me throw out a couple things. First, forgiveness of sins is not linked with believing in Jesus in John's gospel. Secondly, nowhere in the Bible is confession of sins linked with being born again or having eternal life. Nowhere in the whole Bible. Now, it is true in Acts 10:43 that we do get a linkage between believing in Jesus and the forgiveness of sins.
Okay.
Peter said, all the prophets witness that whoever believes in him, that is in Jesus, has the forgiveness of sins. And at that point, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they were born again.
Mm.
Now, they had been told in advance, Acts 11, verse 14, that Peter will tell you words by which you must be saved.
Yeah.
And so when they heard forgiveness of sins, they understood that was concomitant with salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems to me, yes, Jen's right, that forgiveness is linked with believing in Jesus, but not confessing sins linked with being born again. And also, I think we need to understand that in 1 John 1:9 or 1 John 1:7-9, what John is talking about here is something called fellowship with God.
So it's like after you've been born again and you are part of the family of God now.
Forever.
Now it's a question of growth. It's a question of how well are you going to get to know God. It's not a question of whether you're born again or not. It's a question of growing spiritually. And this is where this fellowship idea comes.
Right. And it's also a question of whether you're going to have a harmonious relationship with God or whether you be estranged from God.
Okay.
Well, a believer is eternally secure,
right,
but they may or may not be walking in fellowship with God. I recently preached on Proverbs 4:10-19, a message on two ways, the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. And he says the way of the wicked is the way of deep, deep darkness and pain and suffering. And the way of the righteous is the way of bright, glorious light and joy and satisfaction.
Right.
And he wasn't talking about the way of the born again and the way of the not born again.
Right.
He was talking about the way of those who walk with God and those who don't. A believer is capable of walking with God or not. And 1 John 1:9 is saying, believer, if you walk with God, that is walking in the light of his word, then also you're confessing the sins you're aware of. Verse 9. Then you have ongoing cleansing of your sins, ongoing forgiveness of your sins, and you walk in a harmonious relationship with God. So, Jen, you're on the right track. You're meditating. You're thinking on the right question. Just keep in mind, I think what Acts 10:43 is saying is when we believe in Jesus, at that moment, we receive forgiveness of all our sins, and we don't have to make a list of all our pre-new birth sins in order to be born again. Wouldn't that be a pain to think, well, let me see, I'm now at 1,342,000.
Right. It would never end.
It would just never end.
But Jesus put an end to that.
Amen.
He's the source of our forgiveness, and he's the source of our continued forgiveness.
And even with our continued forgiveness, we confess the sins which we're aware, and then God cleanses us from all unrighteousness because we're not aware of every single sin we commit.
Yeah,
in fact,
God
probably we're only aware of the tip of the iceberg.
Right. Jesus and his grace forgives us of everything.
Amen.
Jen, thank you very much for your question, and thank you for listening. And remember, keep your focus on God's grace.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about confession and forgiveness, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.